For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Yesterday was a big day in the legislature for the future of affordable housing and desegregated neighborhoods in Connecticut. The General Assembly's Planning and Development Committee moved forward to the House and Senate a few measures aimed at achieving more equitable housing access statewide. An organization that has championed some of the measures that moved yesterday is Desegregate Connecticut. That group's founder is attorney Sarah Bronin, and she joins us now. Sarah, one of the bills that made it through was one you championed. It was, and I know it didn't pass through in totality. It was Senate Bill 1024, which the main part of it prohibits, as I understand it, local towns from citing, quote, character of the town as a reason to say no to certain types of development. Did I get that correct? And why is the term character so problematic?
So the term character has been used in zoning regulations to, in many cases, depict or refer to the architectural character and the physical site characteristics of a neighborhood. And so our suggestion is to be sure that that word is not used in a way that applies to the character of people who might be moving into the neighborhood. We have seen, in the last few years, important multifamily housing projects that have been developed with a lot of consensus and that are pretty nice-looking and well-planned projects that have been disputed at the public hearing level by people and even by, sometimes by commissioners who talk about the characteristics of the people who will be moving in. For example, will people be moving in from inner cities and so on to our community? And that's the kind of rhetoric that we really shouldn't be having in this at any point, but is something that will more clearly be off bounds if we make sure that what we're really talking about is the types of buildings that we are permitting in communities, which, after all, is the purview of planning and zoning.
Well, as I mentioned in the opening, you didn't get everything you wanted out of the Senate Bill 1024. Republican legislators like Kimberly Fiorello of Greenwich, they have been expressing satisfaction that part of that proposal didn't make it out of committee. In particular, as described by the Connecticut Mirror, the part that didn't make it out would have allowed the construction of multifamily developments close to a town's main train station, and as well as 2, 3, and 4-unit developments in the downtown corridor without a developer first needing to go through a public hearing and winning approval from the local planning and zoning board. Why did Desegregate Connecticut push hard for that in particular, and how disappointing slash unexpected is it that it did not make it out of committee?
Well, we're really grateful for the fact that this legislative committee took so many different views into account and advanced so many of our proposals. You're right that we have a couple of things that we consider to be unfinished business, and we heard from committee members that they were going to continue conversations and that the legislative process would be ongoing as we consider how to restore some of those provisions. The transit-oriented development and Main Street provisions, as we've called them on our website, for example, you can click on those categories on our website and you can see what specifically we propose. But in general, both of those proposals relate to 2 to 4 family housing, which we simply don't have enough of in Connecticut. We've done a lot of research on zoning districts around the state, and that type of housing is missing from Connecticut. In fact, some people call it the missing middle. And that small-scale multifamily housing, is really important for to create an affordable and, in these particular cases, walkable community for many different kinds of people to live in.
What are you making about the arguments against putting affordable housing near a town's main train station?
I don't understand the objections to that particular proposal, because the kinds of objections we've heard, for example, that no town can possibly outline as of right regulations through the public process that drafts regulations, is simply not supported by the way towns actually zone. If you look at our zoning atlas, many towns already permit various kinds of housing as of right, which means that they set out the rules and the regulations, and it's a staff approval. So I think if once people understand what we've actually proposed, which is very consistent with what many towns already do and how they already write their rules, they'll see that transit-oriented development is the smartest way we can develop because it takes advantage of existing resources, the train station, it gets cars off the road, and it helps to protect our environment while providing an accessible place for people to live.
Of course, affordable housing or the lack thereof and segregated neighborhoods, it's been an issue in Connecticut forever. Why does it seem like now is the time? Why does it seem like now lawmakers exist who are willing to take this on, whereas they haven't been willing to do so in the past?
Well, we have a coalition of over 65 organizations that have been working together for 9 months to try to come up with common sense proposals on zoning. And I think what legislators are seeing is that there's an interest in common sense land use reform. There's an interest in ensuring that we have a state that is vibrant, that is economically vibrant, as well as environmentally sustainable, and is inclusive for many different people in our state. And so working together, I think, specifically on this very narrow issue of zoning reform, has, I think, been great. And hopefully legislators will continue to work with us and many other partners to advance good land use policy and to promote the creation of housing. And many, many housing advocates are excited about what is being discussed this session because zoning reform is just one of many proposals on the table.
Well, let me mention a name that I know you've heard a lot of recently. There's a group called CT 169 Strong that is opposing many of the moves that Desegregate CT is trying to make, trying to oppose changes in long entrenched zoning regulations and ordinances. They argue, of course, that statewide measures will wrest local control away from towns and impose mandates that don't speak to local concerns. So how will you realistically respond to their concerns and convince skeptics that moving in the direction Desegregate CT wants to move in is in everyone's best interest, not just in the people who would take residence in some of these desegregated neighborhoods and affordable housing units?
Well, I think that, you know, we've tried to put out fact-based, research-based proposals, and our website, desegregatect.org, has a ton of information about all of the proposals and why they make sense for Connecticut. These are proposals that will, by and large, not affect single-family property owners except to enable them to create an accessory dwelling unit, which will improve the value of their homes while they are adding a unit of housing. Beyond that, I think that the fears about change are greatly overblown, and I'm hopeful that as people get more information in the coming weeks about what zoning reform could actually do for everyone, that more people will be interested in supporting it. You know, again, what we've heard is kind of consistent from what you said, which is people are not so familiar with what the zoning, what town's current zoning authority is and what the relationship between the local government and the state is. And some groups have made it a fight between local governments and the state. And again, the truth is we've worked with municipal planners. We've worked with municipal leaders for months. We've worked with them to develop these proposals and gotten best practices for rural towns, suburban towns, urban communities, and try to put them in one coherent, common-sense package of legislative reforms. So, again, our message is really this is very consistent with how the state and local governments work together on land use already, and our proposals are really a first step to try to make sure that we're planning for a better Connecticut in the future.
Now that legislation has gotten to the House and the Senate for consideration, how confident are you that it's going to get passed?
I'm always optimistic, so I'm very hopeful that we will have some meaningful land use reforms on the table this year. And we've heard a lot of positive support for accessory dwelling units, support for that change to the word character, support for a number of other proposals, changes to technical standards that prevent housing from being built. And you saw on a couple of weeks ago when we had our public hearing, 70% of the people who testified in favor of zoning reform. There's never been a coalition built like this for zoning reform. It is a very narrow issue, but I think people are starting to see how important it is for all of our lives and how it really has, in many ways, dictated Connecticut's future. We just hope that that future looks a little brighter with some of these changes.
Sarah Bronin of Desegregate Connecticut, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.